Amen. The text for today's message is taken from Mark, which we just heard. I'm laughing because I did that whole beginning of the service not realizing there was a screen up there. It's going, I'm looking backwards. See, that would have made it so much easier. You got to flip the page for me, buddy. You got. I'm just going to tell you to flip. So when I tell you flip, you flip. All right, pal? All right. The end is near. I'm going to lay on you some heavy stuff. It's going to be kind of depressing. But in the middle of all this, I want you to realize is that we have the victory over all of this through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died and rose again to pay for every single one of our sins. And the Bible tells us that there's nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That there's powers, not height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation can separate us from that love. Amen? So I want you to remember that as we go through some pretty tough stuff. Because I'm telling you, in all seriousness, it looks like the end is near. Now, that could be tomorrow. That could be next year. That could be 100 years from now. But if we look at these Bible passages out of the mouth of Jesus himself today, and you apply it to our lives, you're going to see what I mean. Flip the page, bud. All right. Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name claiming I am he and will deceive many. Do you think that there's anybody like that today? A lot of people. In politics now, the big deal is boy, if you were a Christian, you would do this. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't do that. Well, I'm not really sure that Jesus cared a whole lot about Democratic or Republican politics. Right? But it's even tougher. And this is going to hurt some of you. Watching Joel Osteen tell you that your best life is ahead of you, and that if you pray hard enough, if you have enough faith, then you'll get that job, then you'll become wealthy, then you'll get that stuff. That's wrong. That's false doctrine. That's just, it's not right. I'm sorry. He's really entertaining. He's really engaging. The deal is he never, ever talks about the forgiveness of sins in Jesus. And I don't want to criticize. I'm just, be very careful. I'm not up here just to bash. I'm just saying, be very careful. Here's another one. Women, Joyce Myers. I know there's a whole bunch of you reading Joyce Myers and going, amen for that. And she's a former Lutheran. I think she's former Missouri Synod. But again, there's this health and wellness thing that says, if you have enough faith, if you just pray hard enough that God will give you the desires of your hearts, it doesn't work that way. The Bible says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find. But he's talking about spiritual things. I've been praying for a brand new truck for a long time, buddy. And it just turned over 100,000 miles this week. So we got to be careful about that. Now, in the Missouri Synod, yeah, we're very careful, almost to a fault, right? Oh, you know, you're not Missouri Synod. I'm going to stay away from you, sit on the other pew. But I get that we can go a little bit overboard, but we just got to be really careful that the focus is on what God has done for us. That we are poor, miserable sinners, and without Jesus, we would be really in trouble. But by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, all of our sins are washed away. So, at the end of times, especially, we have to remember and watch out for those who would take our eyes off of Jesus. You get me? Okay, let's go to the next one, pal. All right. When you hear wars, and rumors of wars, and do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. You think we got wars and rumors of wars? Huh? Boy, oh boy, since World War II or World War I, we haven't been able to go a generation without a war. World War I, a generation, World War II, a little generation, then Korea, a little generation, not even that, then Vietnam, and then we had to go into the Gulf War, and then Whitney Houston sang America while we bombed the Syrians and the Iraqis, and then we went in, and 9/11 happened, and we've been going strong for 18 years now? Russia threatens us, China threatens us. These things, Jesus said, when you hear these things, you got to remember that should trigger something. May not be that it comes tomorrow, but it should go, wait a minute, I got to get my act together here, right? I mean, when we hear these things, get my act together. Flip the page, pal. You're doing good. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are but the beginning of birth pains, we have them all the time. Now, part of it is because we're so interconnected now and we have a 24-hour news cycle. But, it feels, right? Like, man, these things are going on. Supervolcanoes here, and forest fires there, and earthquakes there, and all these famines, and yeah. Next. Nation will rise against nation. Okay, you just did this. Flip the page, pal. Keep up with me. All right. I'm just teasing you, buddy. Okay. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them, and the gospel must first be preached to all nations. You think it's bad that somebody on the left says, oh, you're conservative, you're a homophobe, you're a bigot, blah, 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 you're this and that. You think that's bad? Go out to the Middle East and be a Christian. How many years ago was that Palm Sunday? Islamists walked into on Palm Sunday in a church, and they blew it up in the middle of the church. And you know what they did the next day? It was around Holy Week. They went, the Christians that remained gathered in that city, in the park in the place where the church was. And they confessed together the Nicene Creed out loud in public. Would you do that? We get shut up just because we may have a different little moral standard than everybody else, and they can shut us up real quick. And it's going to get tougher. First it was the baker in Colorado, and next it'll be you. How many of us are kind of quiet? Religion and politics, I'm not going to talk about them. Maybe we need to talk. The point of all these things is when you hear these things, and when you see these things, and when it becomes more apparent, we got to know that. Well, let's be ready, because Jesus could come. Maybe today, maybe next year, maybe 10 years, maybe 100 years. But the time draws close, and we better be ready. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. How many of you today feel as though that Christianity changed all of a sudden, that all of a sudden we went from everybody went to church and everybody understood Christianity to that, I feel a little bit of a minority status. How you feel that way? It's changed. It's like overnight. Now, I'm an old dude. I've been a pastor for 31 years now. I know I look a lot younger because it's when you're fat, it fills out all the wrinkles. But the deal is, it really has. Everything has really changed. I mean, it's just, oh my goodness. It's like, it used to be, you could say, my neighbor's a Christian, And, you know, everybody went to church, and maybe not some of, but now it's like, no, we don't do that anymore. I was at a little church in south of Mankato in Vernon Center for about 5-6 years. And they're, you think everybody goes to church out there? Shoot. And it was probably 70, 80% unchurched out there in the rural area. And that's everywhere now. Functionally unchurched. Either they don't believe in Jesus as Savior or they just disengage. The biggest religion among millennials is the nuns. I just read today that there's more witches in America than there are Presbyterians. No kidding. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Boy, is that a good feeling, huh? Here's the deal. This is where I told you it's going to get rough, but here where I'm going to give some fire to you here today. Now, flip the page. We have the advantage. His name is Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived the life we should have lived. He was perfect in every single way. He never, ever once sinned. He was born sinless, and he never, ever once sinned. God, his Father, his Son, sent his Son to take on flesh to live the life we should have lived. That's called, by the way, for theologians, the act of obedience. And then Jesus died the death for sin that we deserved. He died on the cross. It's as though he said to us, I will take these boys and everybody else's, I'm just picking on you guys, but everybody's sin, all the bad things you've ever said, done, or thought, I'm going to take them and I'm going to pay them. I'm going to pay your death penalty and you can go free. That's what Jesus did. He lived the life we should have lived, and he died the death for sin that we deserved. And when he died on the cross, he said, it is what? Say it louder. Say it like you mean it. All of your sins are washed away, every single one of them. I want you to think of the worst thing you've ever done that you can never get over. The one that you, if anybody knew here at Redeemer that you did, you would never show your face again. Jesus died for them. He paid the price in full. When the Father looks at you, he looks at all he sees is the stuff his Son, Jesus, did. All he sees is the good stuff left because Jesus paid for all of our sins. They're washed away. Every time we hear the word, every time we remember our baptism, every time we come to the Lord's Supper, there's another assurance that God loves us. So that's our advantage. We have all these things going on in this life, but the advantage is we have Jesus. Flip the page. One more thing. See, this was supposed to be fancy where it all flipped down. I'm going to have to teach you guys. Let's be ready, okay? We have a Savior who paid for sin. Expect some pushback because the message is challenging. I used to listen to the KQRS morning show in Minneapolis, and I probably still do. I listen to it. I've been a fan of Tommy Bernard for a long time, and he did a podcast where his daughter was going to get married in a Lutheran church, and I called in because he wanted to know what they had to do for counseling. And I said, well, they'll probably talk about sin and forgiveness. He said, what are you talking about? That my daughter's a sinner? She never sins. She's a good person. And I just kind of go, oh, that's right. Not everybody thinks the way I do. I mean, seriously, I'm so used to talking in those terms that some people... So the idea of sin and forgiveness is going to be more and more foreign to people, but I'm telling you what, they need it. People are electing presidents and senators and congressmen and politicians because they think that it'll somehow change people's lives. Have you noticed that what they're doing is making more rules? Rules on how you got to act for people, rules on how you should date, how you should treat women, how you should treat men. This is just a substitute for the Ten Commandments. But there's no hope. There's no forgiveness. Our opportunity is that we have a chance to tell others about Jesus because people are not going to find hope in that. God will give you the words and the faith, so get the message out. That's why if you read this gospel today, it said exactly that the Holy Spirit will work through you. People in Wilmer here are desperate to hear the gospel. Yeah, I know the church isn't as like it used to be. I know that things are tough. I know that it used to be a lot bigger, and you hardly had to do anything. It was so easy in the 50s and 60s, wasn't it? 70, even the 70s. Everybody was there dressed up in a suit, and they were given and all this kind of stuff, and we had money to burn, and we had all kinds of stuff we could do, and we had Walther League and dart ball leagues, and, you know, we were our own community. It ain't that way anymore. But that's okay, because every one of us knows someone who could use the hope that we have, right? That would like to get some relief, and that hope is Jesus Christ. And maybe, just maybe, God will work through us. You have a really good pastor. I love Pastor Canyon. I wrote a little article about you guys in the latest newsletter. You have to look up the newsletter in the Minnesota North District. It's kind of a stuff for churches and teachers and pastors, but you can just go to mnnlcms.org and just read the newsletter for yourself. But I wrote about his work with, he works with prison inmates, right? Pretty cool. That's one person doing one thing. And if we combine together, just wherever God has put us, to make a difference and to pray for an opportunity and look for that and act on that opportunity that God gives us to maybe invite them to church or share with them the hope that we have in Jesus. What's the worst thing they can say to us? No. So you go to the next person. And you don't know how the Holy Spirit's going to work. Man, I've been doing this for a long time. And I've been doing mission work for a long time, and I got some stories about some people who I never thought would be a believer. The point of this is, trust God that will give you the words. Just be the witness. Finally, no matter what happens, He's got your back. I am convinced that nothing in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is God's promise to you. He loves you. He forgives you. He has your back. Yes, life may be tough. We may go through some tough times, but God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He loves you. He forgives you. And He has a plan not only for you, but for this congregation to make a difference. And that's enough for today. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's rise for prayer.